By the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in deepest sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here am I, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. By the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone. Give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go. If you lead me, I will hold your people in my heart. By the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here am I, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
This being the first Sunday of the month, everything that's not designated will be given to oblation. Please bow with me. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all the many blessings that you've given us. We pray that this money that we give back might be used to further your kingdom and to help those in need. These things I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
like to welcome you all to House of Worship today in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have a few changes on the bulletin. As most of you probably know, Bonnie Kerning is not feeling well, so Clarence was not able to be here today, so 70 Jim McKay is filling in for him. And then in a little while after the invocation, Nathan Shear is going to give a special prayer for Bonnie. So we have a few changes. And then there is not going to be two speakers today. It was up in the air of who was going to be speaking, so that's why we had Nathan and Eric, Elder Eric Odita, scheduled. So it'll just be Eric Odita be speaking today. For an opening scripture, it's one that those of you that have been at Saints Haven for pretty much anything probably have heard this said or heard it referred to us. It's in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 29. Then spake Jesus, saying, "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And it's my prayer today that we can turn away from those burdens and those things that we have in the world, and that we just come here today and we can worship our Lord and Savior and enjoy our sacrament service and draw closer to Him. Let us continue with hymn number 9.
Thank Thee for this opportunity to come and bask in Your Spirit. Father, we ask You to dwell with us this hour. Share that sweet Spirit. At times I wish the whole congregation was back in the preparation room to feel the Spirit among the priesthood that's preparing to come before Your people. I thank Thee for that Spirit. I thank Thee for the brotherly love amongst the priesthood and this body. We ask You to be with these people this hour and be with Brother Adidas, that his words might come freely and share with us a part of his world, that which is our world. Father, we have many visitors here today, and we greet them with open arms, as Saints Haven is a place to come for open arms and to share our love and them to share their love with us. And we thank Thee. Father, we ask this in Your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Would you bow with me as I say a special prayer for Bonnie? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come before you and to uphold our sister. Lord, we know that she has suffered with this ailment for a while, and we would ask that you might bless her, and you might comfort her, that she might know that you are with her, and might know that even in these trials, you are blessing her. Lord, we would ask that you might be with Clarence and her family, that they might be a comfort and that they might be able to uphold her. We would ask that you might bless them as well, that they might be comforted, that they might know that through these trials, their faith is being made strong. Lord, we would ask that you might be with those doctors and those people that will be looking after her, that they might be given insight and direction on how it is that she should be healed. And all these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's start this morning from reading from Matthew chapter 26. Verses 22 through 24. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and broke it, and blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat this in remembrance of the body which I have given a ransom for you." And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is in remembrance of my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for as many as shall believe on my name for the remissions of their sins." And we come here once a month and we partake of the sacrament. And I've recently have been conflicted on my obligation as a priesthood member when it comes to serving the sacrament. So I've been thinking a lot about what it represents. And it's a representation of Christ's body, which was broke for our sins, and his blood that was shed. And that's a free gift that he gave to us. We're not worthy of it. The best I've ever been in my life, I wasn't worthy for my Lord and Savior to die on the cross for me. But he loved us so much that he was willing to do that for somebody who wasn't worthy. And that's a gift that he gives to all of us. All I've done in my life is to accept that gift with the outward appearance, the outward signification of it through baptism. But the other things I've done in my life are but filthy rags to him. So it is a gift that he gives us, and it's a gift that we can accept if we've made that covenant with him. But there is I even hesitate saying it there's things expected of us, because even as I say these words, I know in my heart that I'm going to fail. Next month, I'll come again to take this sacrament, and I'll prepare, and I'll ask for forgiveness, and I'll try to do those things that I know will be pleasing unto him. And I know I'll come next month and I'll be unworthy again. And the only hope I have is that I can say, Lord, through your blood, justify me that I may partake of this free gift. And prayer for the bread that's going to be read here in a little bit. It says, O God, the Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon him the name of thy Son, and always remember him, and keep his commandments, which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen. As I've struggled this month over the sacrament, I read this prayer, and something that kind of stuck out in my mind that I really hadn't paid that much attention to. One, this is a free gift. I don't deserve it. He's willing to give it to me if I accept that, if I take upon his name. But then there's always, we're trying to keep his commandments. And I struggle with that because, like I just said, I know no matter what I do this next month, I'm going to fail again. But if you read the rest of the sentence, it says that they may always have his Spirit to be with him. So he's willing to give us a free gift. If we're willing to struggle and keep his commandments, then he gives us another gift. He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit that will help us in our lives, help guide us and direct us. I grew up, since I was probably about 11, in the church. And I've been in the priesthood for, probably 8 years now. And it just never amazes me how little I know and how much the Lord still has to teach me. And so I don't have all the answers. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us very much, that he wants us to partake of his sacrifice and accept his free gifts. But I also know that he wants us to strive to do those things in our lives that we know we're supposed to do. He wants us to continue to have those struggles, continue to try to become a more righteous people. Another thought I had about the sacrament was the wedding feast. And it kind of troubled me too. Because I was thinking about that. You know, what if this was the wedding feast? We all accepted the invitation and we're all here to partake of this great feast that's been prepared for us. Then I was convicted I have family members in my life that are not partaking of the feast. I got friends that aren't partaking of the feast. And I know we all, a lot of families in this branch, have members of their family that aren't partaking of the feast. So I was convicted that I need to do a better job of inviting people to the feast. possible, we shall kneel. I'll offer the prayer. O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him, and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen. As the prayer is read over the wine, would you please kneel? O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine, the souls of all of those who may drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen. there anyone who missed their portion of the bread or the wine?
Greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My name is Eric Odida. I come from Kenya. This is not my first time to be here at the Saints' Heaven. I've been here before. And it's a pleasure and a privilege of mine to join you this morning, as it was the time I was here with my wife and son Dean. I'm going to read from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. It says, "Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." It's good to be here, and especially it's good to be here during the sacrament service. It's one ordinance that brings the body together. And for me, this is good because I come from another part of the world where ordinarily I would be a different person, you know, from you guys. I sometimes wonder if the investment that the Lord has put upon me and my family, he's getting enough from it. Because unlike many of my countrymen and women, we get to come here very often and to experience worship in this land, in this place. And I tell you, we have very good experiences back in Kenya, in Africa. But still, it's special to be here. Being amongst you and going through the worship with you people is something very special. And that's why I sometimes feel very challenged, together with my wife, at how much we are able to share that and how much that is able to get out to the people through not just our words, but through our lives, through the lives of our children and the standards that we set. How much is that investment worthy? I've been so blessed together with my family because of the experiences that the Lord has shared with us. We have testimonies and testimonies of the power of God. And he's done this in the open to our children and us to see. And so, at a time like this, I just say that as we are blessed, I wonder, what is Jesus doing? I don't know if we ever ask ourselves, what is Jesus doing every day? As we go to work to get bread and those things that meet the needs of our everyday lives, do we ask ourselves, what is Jesus busy with every day? What is he doing? Is he just seated somewhere signing records and checkbooks and the like? Or is he busy working on each and every one of us on our lives? What is this busyness? Because if we could cast our thoughts to that, then maybe that could assist us to know then what is our busyness supposed to be about. If he wakes up in the morning, if they're sleeping where he is, what would this program be like? Today am I working on Eric? Or today am I working on Brian? Or is it like it's so busy touching all of them at the same time? It's important for us to know what our master's business is all about all the time, because that will assist us to see what our lives is supposed to be all about. And I know that he's very much concerned about our jobs, our businesses, our education, our sports, and those things that make our lives to be all variety, that make it to be enjoyable here, and also to meet the needs of our everyday lives. It's definitely very important. But he is involved in that too. And I know that as he's involved in that, it could be more like a mother preparing a meal for her children. And here and there she may put in something just to improve the taste, and something there just to make it smell better, and something on the table just to make it more presentable and appealing. And so would our jobs and our business and our education and sports and all these things. He is concerned with them. Yet, the main business that I know my master is about is preparing me and you to come and live with him and his father in that eternal place that he's prepared for us. I know that is his business. Yet I pray that somehow, as our lives goes, maybe from today, we may realize that that is so important for him that it need to be important for us. I know it's important because sometimes, even as human beings and especially as children, if you may look at your children sometimes, a mother may have put so much in preparing for a meal and brought it to the table, yet when it comes the time, it's about convincing the baby, please eat a little, take some more, so that is normal, he understands. But I pray that we may rise up and do better than that. Because as we've been a part of the covenant, as we made a covenant and come to the kingdom, to be a part of the kingdom, the word of God tells us that we are no longer strangers, we are not foreigners, but we are children of that family, we are members of that household. We are not outsiders. And that means that that enterprise, that what that business, what that family is all about, what that household is all about, what their business is, what their life is what our life is to be all about. And that's what the covenant does for us. It makes us special, but it has its obligations too. It requires something of us. There is an expectation of us. There is a law that's set before us, and if we walk within that law, it takes us higher and higher. But if we walk out of that law, then we are in trouble. Very big trouble. This past week, I joined the men that went to Catland for a retreat. And personally, I had a very good experience. I needed that. And sometimes we're outside there, and we are a little, we have got many people yet, but sometimes we are a little alone. We don't get the time to fellowship, maybe as elders, maybe as priests, maybe, you know, because sometimes you are in a place whereby you are very few priesthood. So constantly you are on your feet speaking to the people and teaching them. And you rarely get time to sit back and sometimes receive the ministry. And I realized that I really needed that. While we were the first night that we went there, and I spent time in the morning with the Lord, just praying, of course, for the retreat, and praying for myself. And I couldn't sleep very well because of the changes of the sleeping hours. Kenya is asleep right now, as we are awake here. So that was interfering a little with my sleep. And so I spent most of that time praying. And as the morning reached, I felt like the Lord was revealing things in my life that I needed to know, things that I had taken for granted, but things which were sinful, things which were not right before Him. And I started repenting of these. And I prayed until towards morning, I was feeling better. I was feeling like my Savior had forgiven me of those things. Yet when we went into classes later in the day, He was speaking to me, because the class that was presented was on obedience. And I was reminded that repentance, which is what I've been doing over and over and over, is good, but it's a lower level of response. That a higher level of response is obedience. And that really shook me, because I had repented early in the morning and felt good because my sins had been brought before my eyes, I had seen them and I'd repented and I was feeling good. Yet that same day, later in the day, the Lord was speaking to me and telling me that repentance is a lower level of response. That the higher level of response is obedience. And that really challenged me. And I left that place feeling like it was worth all that was put into it so that I could be there. I felt blessed. And I know many times we visited Catland, it's our special place. And sometimes we want miraculous things that are evident that we can see. Yet, how important it is for us to come and change people from that place. You know, one time back in Kenya, when I was ordained as an elder, I had prayed asking God, and prayed fasted asking God, that I wanted to see a sign. And forgive me, and the Lord forgive me for this. I wanted fire from heaven to come down when I was being ordained. I'm not kidding, I meant it. I'd read testimonies of the Lord's working in this church. I knew it could take place, it could happen. And I wanted fire to come down as hands were laid on my head. That's what I'd been praying for. Somehow, that did not take place. I say somehow because I know it could have taken place if the Lord had a reason for it. But it didn't take place. I was ordained. I felt nothing. I had good words. But about 3 days later, something happened. As I was reading the Book of Mormon, the missionaries who had ordained me had returned to the U.S. As I started reading the Book of Mormon, and I started reading from page one, wanting to read it now as a priesthood member. I had read through it, but as a member. Now I was a priesthood member, and I wanted to read it so that I could teach people with it. Pope, a burning in the bosom, a wonderful experience that just filled me. And it was like I could feel it in my hand. It was like it was everywhere, all over my body. It was like this wonderful, beautiful feeling filled me up. The fire. But you see, it was a fire that burned within me. And a fire that burned long until I read that book through. That was a more beautiful fire than if the fire had come from heaven just for me to sit there and not to experience it. Because this was fire that I could go and share with others. This is a fire that others could see it burning within me as I shared the testimonies of Christ with them. It was not a fire that I left behind where it had burned to go and tell people and they would go there and not see it. This is a fire they too could experience as I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And so my experience at Kirtland was very important for me. I like going to Kirtland because even though we are fragmented people, so far we still are. Yet somehow we still go to Kirtland. Do you realize that? Each group still finds their way back to Kirtland, which in one way or another to me means we are still a family. And that the Lord in his own ways may still use that building there, the house of the Lord, to work a miracle amidst his people. And I was reminded also of the days of Israel as I thought about the Kirtland Temple being there, and how that the Lord had built the house, led Israel to build the house of the Lord. But how each time that they didn't measure up, the clear testimony that it was with them, it was not with them, was given in the tabernacle. At Shiloh, when the people had gone down to and righteousness of the level that it was, the ark and the tabernacle was taken from them. Later on, the temple that Solomon had built and the others that followed. Because when people assumed from time to time that the Lord was still with them, because of the outwardness of our performances, the Lord had to give a testimony that no, that is not the case. Yet we know very well that even as we value and treasure and respect our temple here, we know very well that the temple that the Lord had in mind was a different temple altogether. And I'm not saying that this temple is not important. It's important for us, and it's still going to be important. And even the temple that will be built will be important. But the most important thing was that the Lord was talking to us about the temple that is defined very well as we, his people, the dwelling place of his spirit, that this was really what he was about. And he kept on, he told Israel of how the priesthood needed to be pure. And he told them how some animals, some foods were pure. He wanted the people to be pure. And he emphasized over and over, using many things, foods and ordinances and services, emphasizing purity to his people. That's what he was saying. You have to be pure. He was insisting that we have to be a sanctified people. And I think we need to remember that even as we go through our everyday life, that we need to be a sanctified people. And that need to be a goal. If you have a goal, it's not something that you work on. And then sometimes you put it down and do other things. Everything finds its way and meets right there. And that's what our Heavenly Father still desires. Up till today, that we may be a holy people. For he's saying we are members of that household. We are children of his kingdom. Days are coming ahead here that are going to be a little difficult for everybody else. Already we see what's taking place in North Africa, in Middle East. And Africa is fairly restless today. Nobody knows what's going to take place. And we know that we are going towards that period when difficulties are going to be there upon men. And the only hope that we have is our God, is that we are in the kingdom. That's the only thing that will make it different for us. So when it tells us that we are members of the household of God, that is very important for us, that we are children of the kingdom, that we are no longer foreigners or strangers. That is very important for us. But we have to be able to belong there, so that when those difficulties come, it's not that somehow we will be blown away into the sky, as others may believe, but that somehow, that knowledge, that understanding, that truth will guide us through each moment and somehow be able to take us through until we can meet the Master. We need to know the times are advancing and the times are already here. And our membership within the kingdom ought to be more assured now than ever before. In Kenya today, we are having cancer disease very aggressively getting into the masses, which never used to be our problem at all. Today, for those who know Patrick Akello, Patrick's mother is ill with cancer, and a number of other people. And this never used to be the case. And many other things that are confronting us, and at least, I mean, we are a poor people, we are a poor country, a poor nation. And even how to care for one who is sick like that becomes quite a burden on the family. It's not an easy thing. And so the times that we are facing are going to be very difficult. But I thank the Lord very much that through this covenant, a change has come amongst our people. In Kenya, the church is experiencing growth. We are not just growing in numbers, but we are growing in many aspects that we can see. Indeed, our numbers are still few. We are about 1,000, not yet quite 1,000, with 55 priesthood, 8 elders, and our priesthood base is mainly the priests and the teachers. But we can see changes that are taking place amongst the people. And in spite of the difficulties that are going on, and sometimes concerns that we have in the church, yet the Lord is still working. We can see that. Not long ago, had an opportunity to work with a man called James Yogo. James was a pastor of an evangelical church in Nairobi. And James' project has gone on with the Lord for quite some time. He had come upon the church, into contact with the church, some years back, about 4 years back. He had seen the gospel. He had actually accepted it. But probably it went here. He saw the logic in the gospel. So it went to his mind and he accepted it. And actually he was baptized at the time. But when he went back to his church, which is a big evangelical church, and shared with them the testimony of what had happened and that he had been baptized, the church rejected what step he had taken. And they threatened him. They told him that if he joined this church here, which is using the Book of Mormon, they will leave. And some of them actually left at the time. And so James backed off and told them that okay, then we'll continue the way we have been. Well, last year they came there. They were a one building church. They were not affiliated to any other group. They were just one building church. And it came to their mind, their leadership, that they needed to get another group to affiliate with so that they could have retreats, they could have reunions, they could do things jointly with. And they didn't know which group to pick. So they decided to take 1 week to pray and fast for the Lord to lead them to the right group to affiliate with. Well, they took the week and they fasted and prayed. And on the 7th day, I called James. I had not called him in a long time. So I called him on telephone and I told him, James, I've got missionaries who are coming in. And I was wondering if you could avail an opportunity for them to come to your church and share the gospel with your congregation, not to change them, not to convert them, but just to benefit the people, you know, just so that they could understand, maybe they could get some things probably they haven't gotten. And so James told me, yes, you can bring them. And I made the appointment to take the missionaries to his branch, to his church. Well, unbeknown to me, that was the day their fasting was ending. And that, to him, meant something. He didn't tell me that something, that was meeting, was an answer to their prayer. But that's what it was. So anyway, the missionaries came and I took them and they were able to share in that place. And then they went to minister elsewhere in Kenya. And the day they were leaving Nairobi, I called James to tell them where the missionaries will be leaving. And they'll be having an afternoon in Nairobi when they don't have much to do. Can I bring them to come and share again before they can leave so that we can occupy their time? And James said, yes, you can do so. And I think that was supposed to be a day or two later. So what happened was that night, the night just before the missionaries went to visit them, James had a dream. And in the dream, they were praying overnight. They were having an overnight vigil. And in the dream, it was towards morning, and one of the women leaders came to him. He said that in the dream he was seated praying alone, and members were seated praying in groups. And one of the women leaders came to him and reported to him, called him, Pastor, our oil is getting low. The light is going out. Can you send somebody to go and buy more oil? And James says, in the dream, he raised his eyes, his head up, and looked at the window. And behold, it was already daytime. The sunlight was already coming into the building. And he turned and he told the woman, look, the full light is already here. We don't need to buy oil anymore. And that was the day the missionaries had just left their place. What a beautiful testimony that they would be given the testimony that what they'd been using was in preparation, or as they waited for the full light. And he used the word, the full light is already here. I had to ask him, can you repeat what your response to that lady was? And he said again, I told her, we don't have to send for oil anymore because the full light is already here. Well, James did not know anything about the fullness of the gospel. That had not been explained to him. For him to use the word the full light was very significant. And I told him, do you realize what this is all about? And I went about and pointed for him where the word the fullness of the gospel were found in our books. And it was a great day as he sat in my house and we shared about this. Well, James went back and asked the congregation. He shared with them what had taken place from the time when I made the appointment for the missionaries to go to the time they came and left, and the dream and the message. And he told them, this is the church where I told you a few years ago that I had been baptized, but you had rejected, and I was forced to forget about it. But I cannot turn my back against the truth any longer. I have to be here, even if you will not. So it started from that we started going in. He started inviting me to go and share with them. And it worked well for some time. Then members started leaving. And members left until they remained very few. But I praise the Lord that that few number that remained is a part of this church, the Church of Jesus Christ. And James has since been ordained to the office of priest. And the Lord had another thing to do, incidentally. When James was baptized, his assistant pastor was also baptized. That is more or less at the same time. But his assistant, somehow by some coincidence, had left work in Nairobi and had been transferred to another part of the country. And there, he didn't look back. He started fellowshipping with a group, with a church at a place called Lisana, which is a church here. So the assistant, him, he never went back. Him, he went on. And when this time came, when, and this is how the Lord works, when James' group now came in and accepted the church for the group that stayed back, his assistant, who had been working elsewhere, got to be transferred back to Nairobi, not knowing even the things which were taking place with his former church. And he came in right at that time when those others had left, and James and the others needed the support that he could give. And a part of the leadership had left, but David was able to come in at the time, having spent more time with the church at Lisana. And today, it was beautiful, actually, even them when they went to elect their pastor, that James decided not to stand for election as a pastor, because he knew, obviously, people would choose him. So he decided not to stand as the pastor. But David stood as the pastor, and David was elected as the pastor. And David has a lot more interaction with the church and a lot of knowledge about the church than James is. And to just see that that took place without any intervention from anybody, and the Lord's Spirit working with them, is a great blessing and truly a testimony that this is the Church of Jesus Christ. That however much sometimes we may wonder, where do we stand with the Lord and the plan that He has for us, yet the testimony still comes back that these are the people. That maybe as an individual I may have issues in my life, and probably one or two of you too. But as a people, with the covenant, we are still the people. I think it's something that needs to encourage us to move on from there and try to make ourselves better, to sanctify ourselves better, so that the Lord could do greater things with us. As the days ahead arise, come upon us, that's going to require more of the Lord's word. In that area, we have since recognized growth. We've got a new branch in Nairobi also called Dandora, in a more populated area, growing up very fast and exciting, and that's where I spend most of my time now. Praise the Lord for that. We have a new place that's called Kihancha, and James, this is Brother James, this is closer to Migori, where we've been, where Rosemary and family lives. And so we have that. And something that has been going on in our county that I've realized the Lord is doing is apart from just the numbers that are coming up, is a quality of life that's coming amongst the people. A place called Sori Bay, which for some years, the saints who were there were very poor people. They were not able to meet their everyday needs. Today, if you go amongst them, the Lord is working. They have work, they have small businesses, but which are able to support them. So the changes that are coming in the lives of the people are not just changes to talk about. They're not just miracles that you see somebody's getting healed and somebody's getting well alone, but that the quality of the lives of the people is also increasing. One man, Wilson Oyata, who is a priest in the church at a place called Rakwaro, where earlier on in his life, he had married a woman, and they had three children with this lady. And because of some things that took place in his family, there were many deaths. The Wilson's family had about 5 deaths within a short time. And then Wilson was very poor. The lady left with 2 children and left Wilson with 1. And Wilson ended up marrying another wife called Rose, with whom they entered into the church at the same time and made a covenant. and they went on to have 3 more children. But Wilson's life really got changed. And he started living quality life even within his family. And recently, word went on to where his former wife, she had left and she went and married somebody else. And she got the news that Wilson was doing very well. That she was suffering wherever she was, yet her husband, or her former husband, was doing very well. So she came back. And she came back and presented herself to Wilson as, "I'm still your wife." Well, this is a case that is going on in the law courts right now in Kenya, because Wilson would not have her back. But the whole thing here is that the quality of his life, is such that his neighbors could see, that people could see, and be able to relay word to that lady that you're suffering here, and the man you left behind is doing very well. The Lord is working with these people. Recently, we had women's retreat in Kenya. And we also had youth retreat. And in all this, one thing came up. Previous times, we've had to depend on the church here to be able to provide for the physical needs or requirements of the retreat. Well, the Lord is expanding somehow the means within the hands of the people there. And the 4 retreats that we had were provided for from the saints in Kenya. The conditions were not the very best, but the beauty of it is that the saints are able to respond, even if in a small way, to meet their needs at the retreat. And these are changes that we are recognizing, and we know that the Lord is working. Where young people have a ministry too that's going on. The youth ministry has been very important for us since the church began in Kenya. And we've seen the young men and young women who were just a few years ago children. Some of them are now married. And they've gone through school education programs sponsored by the church here. And some of them are in responsible places of work now, able to support the church. And they're grown up right now. They're adults. But these are restoration because their first churches was restoration. My background was Anglican, but Dean's background is not Anglican. Dean is restoration. And most of those young people, they don't have the baggage that we carry from the churches we belong to. All that they know is about restoration. They are brought up with the Book of Mormon and Doctrine and Covenant and the things that we teach. They know no other. And it's a beauty to see them rising up to take their places in the church with their families. The very, very beautiful thing that we've started witnessing as we encourage them that fine, as young people, you may not find suitable people within the church to marry. But it's very important that when you marry, you bring your spouses back home. You bring them into the church because you are a unique people. You are different. Your faith is like no other faith. You must bring them home. If not, you will be lost. And your heritage will be lost. And I don't believe that anybody who has made a covenant is a part of this church here and ends up marrying out and ends up being outside there will be happy. I don't believe so. Maybe I'm wrong, but I tend to think we are so different, and with the covenant that we have, for us to be happy when we leave this faith to go outside there. And recently, in a few years back, we've started seeing this taking place. As our young girls and our young men, as they make friendship out the world, they bring their friends into the church. A young woman called Quinta, and I believe the youth who have been there are familiar with Quinta. Didn't you know Quinta? Quinta befriended a young man, a nice young man. And I praise the Lord that when she made this friendship, before she could tell her parents, she approached me, because our culture is a little different how to handle relationship between, you know, young people. And she approached me, and I was able to meet him together with my wife, and we thought we approved of him. And we were able to approach her parents and let them know what was going on. But before she did that, before she told me, she had brought the young man to church. And we kept on seeing this new young man coming to church every day. We didn't know what it was all about. And then we came to know that he was being brought into the church by this young lady here. And that's how beautiful it is when we recognize that we are a covenant people and that we are different. And that through every means we are going to try to go outside there to bring people in. And be careful not to stay outside, to remain outside there. And so we thank God very much for that. We have challenges, though, that we are facing in Kenya. Issues of polygamy are very strong in Africa, and this is affecting many of our people, especially the women. Women, there she is in the church, going to church as usual, but sometimes she finds herself in a position whereby her husband is involved in polygamy, and this is affecting her standing in the church, because from then on, she can't have a right standing in the church, in spite of the fact that herself, she was not part of that sin. A lady called Dorcas from Rakwaro, her husband passed away and left her with quite a number of children, 11 young children. And therefore Dorcas, not even working, really depended on her husband for the care of their children. But the husband passed away. Now the clan required of Dorcas to accept to be inherited by one of the brothers of the husband, because that's the culture. And this brother would inherit her, would still be having his wife. And Dorcas, because of her faith, and in spite of her great need for support, rejected that. And she's been ostracized. She's been really struggling very much. But I praise the Lord, she's remained strong. Now, going 3 years, she's remained strong. And she's a testimony of what the Lord can, because it's not easy for her. And that's why sometimes I sometimes find it difficult to know where does my family end and where does it begin, especially when we have something in our family to use. Because when Dorcas called that she has this need, and I know her situation very well, I know she has no family except for the church family. How do I say that we have nothing if we have something, however small? The church in Kenya is growing to the point whereby we are probably going to demand more of the church here, because we want Zion to be. People like Dorcas want Zion to be. And she knows very well that if she would just lower her guard a little, then Zion would not be for her. She won't be able to see Zion. And I do not know however much we try. And I don't want to say that we are trying more than you people are trying here. We also have our issues there. But we need to work on this thing. This Zion thing, we need it. We really need it. Sometimes we even, to tell you the truth, blame you guys a little. We sometimes think that you have a little more, so maybe you don't need Zion. But we need Zion there. Our people need Zion. Dorcas and her 11 children need Zion. I do not know just how much we can put our heads together and our hearts together and our hands together to make this Zion thing here a reality. Because truly, sometimes we are afraid the time is running out. I know that we always say there's the Lord's timing and all that. And that could be true. But what of the people who stand in the need outside there, whose hands could be used when this Zion thing is put together? Whose efforts could find a place to be employed if this Zion thing is there? What of those who are getting discouraged because somehow the world within its unjust system cannot offer them the opportunities that are there to worship their God in freedom and to have their little needs met as they offer their ministry, the labors of their hands, to the Lord God in a place that will appreciate whatever that they can give. I would say that we are blessed because we can see the strength of the church there is growing up, not just amongst the youth, but we have women like Huldah, like Salome, like Tabitha, like Jane Odiko, and many others who are standing in their places, not as women, but as strength of the church in the places they occupy. And I know very well that in spite of the challenges that are there, the poverty, illnesses, and all things that we have there, the church is in Kenya. And I praise the Lord that from time to time, He reaches out to give us the assurance that this is the church of Jesus Christ, that our belief is not misplaced, that we should go on just try. But brethren, we need to sanctify our lives. We need to make this Zion thing here a reality. May God bless you.
Thank my brother for time he spent preparing for the sermon, and would like to thank Brian and Anise for their time that they spent, and thank my brothers up here that stepped into the places and did things that weren't necessarily scheduled, and I really appreciate that. So let us conclude with hymn 388.
Sit at his table, and that message is at the heart of what God has called us to do as a covenant people. I'm persuaded, brothers and sisters, that it is under that spirit that we can overcome all things, that the walls of separation can be torn down, and bridges of restoration can be built, that the body of Christ might be healed. You've heard the plea of our brother from a far-off land, Zion, the holy city. For 181 years, we have failed to meet our two primary corporate goals: gather Israel and build a holy city. How long will we halt between two opinions? How long will we allow ourselves to be separated from each other? How long will we continue to fight? Are we ready to lay down our arms and surrender our wills to our heavenly King? If we are, then we can see the fulfillment of the very things that we have spoken of and heard this morning. And we can give an answer to a pleading heart of a man who has carried an entire nation upon his shoulders for many years. So we pray. Magnificent and holy Father, what a joy that you are our Father, and that you have loved us and not cast us off because of our rebellion and disobedience. But all the day long, Father, your arm has been extended, beckoning us to come unto Christ and be perfected. And we pray, Lord, that the spirit that captures the joy of knowing Jesus might be found in our hearts and in our minds' understanding, that we might become a people fashioned into the image of He who sits at your right hand, that we might fulfill the divine destiny that you've called us to as a church and as people, that we might joy in the Holy One of Israel. Lord, I pray a blessing upon your covenant people, not just here, but in all places where they are and where they have gathered this day in your creation. May the revelation of your Son rest upon them. And may we realize, Father, the blessing that will come to us as a people when we do become one. To this end, Father, send us forth in the name of Jesus, that our outgoings and our incomings may be in the name of the Lord, and that there shall emanate from us a testimony, not just in word only, but in deed, that the Lord Jesus Christ reigns within us, and that we do have a message to tell to the nations. To this end, Father, we thank Thee for this gathering. We thank You for the spirit under which we have come, the spirit that has blessed us. And yet, Father, we know there's a greater manifestation that You desire to pour out upon us as a people. May we prepare and prepare quickly, Father, for the days that are certainly about to come upon us as a world. The promise that My people will I preserve. Help us, Father, to truly be your people. In Jesus' name, amen.